All right. I think we're officially live.
Oh, all right.
Hey. Hi.
Hello.
Introduce yourselves for the people that can't see you and are only listening on the podcast part.
I am Lee Raven, and my wife is here.
I'm Nikki Hartz.
Hi, guys.
I'm Nikki Hartz.
Welcome to the podcast. I know. It's kind of hard. I feel like I need to up my fucking game, and Nikki's sitting there like, I just don't feel cool enough, man.
I don't know. I think this is very cool.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great setup.
It's legit.
This started off as a sex platform.
I believe it.
And then I was like, well, there were so many of them, I built tables out of them. And then I was like, it's the perfect place to put all my shit.
How much squirt has been on here?
Not enough.
Yeah, I bet.
It's not
warped yet.
It's still kind of clean. You can see there's only a few drill holes here and there.
That's so funny.
So like I said, thanks for being here. This is, we just got like recently syndicated and we're all over the place. So this hopefully people are slowly going to start like catching stuff. And the purpose of what we're doing, or what I'm doing, is with everyone, is trying to like make people in our industry, or people outside of our industry, understand that people in our industry are actually real people who have real feelings and have things besides fucking on camera, and that's all they're good at.
We're human.
Yeah.
We do things.
So, I was going to start off because you're in town, Lee.
Yeah.
And what are you in town for? What are you in Vegas doing right now?
I am in Vegas feature dancing at the Hustler Club. So I'm here for 3 nights, doing 2 shows a night dancing. Hopefully I'll be back. We'll see how it goes.
Now, on your social media, I've seen it, so which means other people have seen it. Do you actually have a pole set up in your place?
I do have a pole in my place. I mostly have that for other women to hop on while Nikki and I sit on the couch and enjoy, because I'm not very good at the pole, to be honest.
Okay.
I feature dance, but I feel like I'm more of an entertainer than a dancer. Like, I'll grab a double dong or like grab somebody from the audience. Like, I can't fucking spin on a pole. I'm really bad at it. Well, I mean, I could do it, but like, landing is really hard for me.
So you can get up, it's just the dismount.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really long, and with heels on, I think I'm like 6'4". In my like 8-inch heels, so it's just all leg, a lot of lanky going on.
There was a place back in LA when I lived in the Valley, and it was called the Star Garden. You guys familiar with it?
No.
I feel like it would be your kind of place because it's my kind of place. So it's like they, lots of metal being played, kind of punk rock girls. It's also kind of a place that may or may not be where strippers go to die.
Cool.
Kind of place.
I'm into this.
It has that kind of underlying scent of like urine and with a touch of vomit to it.
Mm-hmm.
The pool table's tilted. Like it's not. It's not by any means a classy joint, but it's my kind of joint. It was. Did you ever see that show? My Name Is Earl.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The strip club in that show. That's the same place.
Okay, that says a lot.
The movie Sprung, I think it was. Spun, yes, that one. Where Ron Jeremy's the same fucking place.
Damn.
And it's on, I think it's on Lancashire. It's in North Hollywood.
Fuck,
how have I never been?
You have to go. And the stage, the show makes it look like it's small, it's tinier when you get in there.
Oh, man.
Super fucking tiny.
I love seedy places.
This is good. Like, the name Jumbo's Clown Room is really cool, but I don't think it's as elegantly trashy as the Star Garden.
It's like what Jumbo's wishes they could be.
Yeah.
I want someone to take their top off at Jumbo's every time. I'm like, come on.
They get topless over there. We actually, for my bachelor party, I asked the guys, and there was like 30 or 40 of us, because basically everybody I knew at the bar was coming over. And I was like, do you want me to set this up? I know some girls and they'll come do me a favor and entertain all of you fuckers, because I don't care.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we got it. So we show up and a couple hours into it and the guys are getting restless and they start asking, where the fuck are the girls? This is JP, the porn guy. Where's the fucking girls? And there was no plan. So we ended up going to the Star Garden.
Hell.
I go in there and I'm like, this is perfect. This is great. And they all throw their money in and get me 3 of the girls. And all 3 of the girls had never, ever spanked anyone ever, but decided they were going to take my belt off and try and hit me.
Oh.
I'm willing. I'll take it. I'll take one for the team.
God.
I turn around, I grab the pole, I arch my back, I give them all a little bit of ass I got. And the first swing, bitch hits me in the kidneys with a fucking buckle. So I turn around, take the belt, and I was like, you lost your turn. The rest of you better be careful or there's no more hitting me.
was like, kidney or inner thigh, like that wrap?
Kidney. Call me right in the fucking kidney.
Ugh.
So they did it a couple more times, and the DJ with his DJ voice is like, well, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you all remember that he does what he does to these ladies, and they're just getting their revenge. And I think there's like a something they put on the, because the guy can be off mic and he can be like, hi, my name's Joe. But then he gets on the mic and he's like, welcome to stage.
Yeah.
Why is it that every strip club DJ MC has that fucking
voice? I know.
Voice?
Last night there was a girl named Santana going up on stage and I thought that was really interesting. And he was like, Santana on deck. And I was like, oh my God, what is this?
It's like, why do you have to make it so fucking trashy?
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
So yeah, anyway, that was, I got off stage, and then they were supposed to do, like, while I'm on stage, because there's, I guess, that, like, now we got him up here, we're going to embarrass him and use him. So they sat me down, and I didn't even get a proper lap dance. They hovered. I kind of sat there, and I was like,
you going to grind on it?
And I was like, I'm going to lean back so maybe it comes up a little bit. And they were, like, a good, I think that camera's picked, they were probably a good 5 or 6 inches at least above me. And I just sat there, because I know, don't put your hands on them. I've worked in enough
You're
strip
polite.
Clubs. Yeah.
Sitting on your hands.
Yeah. I just kind of did the whole the Keanu Reeves thing. I just keep my hands as far away from anybody. So I'm like, oh my.
That's so funny.
And they kept hovering. And when it was over with, they were like, thank you. And they gave me hugs. And they're like, I hope it was fun. I was like, it was sweet. And I walked off stage and went to my friends and was like, I hope you didn't spend a lot of money on that because that was worthless. That was horrible.
Yeah, seriously.
I could do better if I lost my memory trying to jerk off to an episode of one of the things I've shot. So.
Oh my God.
So funny.
So is it fun though? Going back to you, enough about me.
Yeah, I have a great time. I always get fucking nervous and I always worry that I'm gonna like shit everywhere. Cause it happens, I get the poops before I have to go on stage.
You get a nervous tummy, don't you?
Yeah.
It's all rumbly, I do too.
Yeah, so like sometimes I'll just put a butt plug up there and I'm like, well, just hope nothing happens.
slide around.
Yeah, exactly. but I do, I have a really good time and usually the crowd and like the strippers are really awesome. It's a lot of fun and fans are fun when it's busy and when it's popping. But I make Nikki come with me and like, hand me my double dong, hand me all my giveaways, clean my double dong.
Stage crew.
Yeah, pretty much do all the shitty work. And she's like, am I gonna get paid? And I'm like, you're getting food tonight. That's what you get, a meal.
Well, you also have the extreme pleasure of having her as your wife.
Yeah, there's that.
But of course, when my wife's like, well, you're married to me, I was like, bitch, I want my money. Like,
yeah, in the audience, she's just like,
mm-hmm.
I've seen it about 60 times.
Right, you've seen it
same
already.
Same song, so I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
You're right at this point, you're like, oh, she missed that move. Like, yeah. You start judging her on her routine.
Yeah, it's weird for me because, like, if people are there for her, usually they know at least that I'm married to her.
Right.
So a lot of times they spend their time, instead of watching her, they, like, look at me for my reactions to things, like, which isn't really, like, I'm not really reacting.
Right.
And they're just kind of staring at me from, like, across the stage. It's always, like, some kind of whatever the setup is. So yeah, I'm like, I don't want to like look at her cause I don't want them to keep look like, just look at her and leave, like, I want like an invisibility cloak for this job.
Stop judging me.
Yeah. Like, I don't care what she's doing. Like, she starts like looking like she's sucking a dick or like making out with a girl or whatever. And they look over at me like I'm gonna get mad or something.
Still looking for
or
your
if
approval.
I'm over there, like, you know, I'm just like,
warning or something.
Give a fuck. Just do your thing.
And I think that's one of the things that, about this industry that people don't get, that there's everyone else thinks that you have to do certain sexual things and the lights have to be off and it has to be under the covers and the door has to be locked. And we're like, we don't give a fuck. We'll do it in front of anybody because this is what we do and we're comfortable.
Yeah, right.
But all of the rest of the masses, I think that's probably what it stems from, is they're like, are you sure? This is your wife. Like,
yeah,
do you see her?
Yeah, exactly. She's like deep threading the double dong and they're like, I'm sure it's only amplified because I'm a girl. So they're like, oh, you're married to this girl? And it's like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I'm there for the money.
Right.
She's doing her thing.
But even in general, like, we're staying at Goth Charlotte's and Lance's house, and it's so nice to be, like, in a comfortable environment where I'm not making other people uncomfortable because I'm naked or something. Like, I'm taking a bath, Nikki's in the shower, Lance is, like, walking around, and Charlotte's, like, in the bathroom. And we're just, like, talking to each other and communicating and just, like, walking around fucking naked. And I feel like I can't even do that in my house sometimes because we'll have people staying, and they're like, I don't want to look.
What is that, a vagina and breast? What are you doing?
And I'm like, I'm not uncomfortable, but you're clearly uncomfortable.
I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I had a roommate back in LA that was my boss also, so he started the company that I was working for, and we had a model come over who I was kind of fucking around partying with-ish thing, and he knew her. We had shot her. She comes out of my room topless. She had bottoms on. She came out, I think she had like PJs on. Mm-hmm. She comes out topless to go to the kitchen to get some water, and she comes back the next day. He's like, dude, what the fuck? And I was like, what do you mean, what the fuck? He's like, can you tell your fucking friends to put fucking shirts on? I'm like, you've seen her get fucked before. You've watched her suck dick. Why are you in my ass because she came out with her titties out?
Yeah.
He was, and it bugged the fuck out of him. And maybe it was because she was in my room, and who knows?
Not his?
Maybe. I don't know. There's a whole level of hate that I'm never going to understand in this world. Shade, man. Fucking throwing shade.
Yeah. I bet specifically for what you do, too. Like, I feel like you probably get some slack from a lot of different communities for you beating women.
You
know? Can you imagine?
The abusing women and for people to try and understand that I'm doing everything that someone signed up and wanted me to do and filled out a list of, like, you go to a spa, it's like, do you want a facial today or do you want a back rub or do you want your lower back? Do you want hot stones? Do you want blah, blah, blah? I give you the same list. I just don't have a spa. I have a dungeon.
It's a very specific list, too.
Right. And it's very consensual, everything that we do, but they see this big motherfucker beating up on these poor little girls and they're crying and they're slobbering and they're drooling and they're like this piece of shit. And I'm like, fuck you. I don't care.
It's kind of the best.
I enjoy it. There's that, and there's that, well, he doesn't even pull his dick out, so fuck him. We all know that everybody in the mainstream world of porn seems to think that all of them can start tying people up and beating the shit out of them kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, and I use me because I feel like, I mean, I run the biggest rope site in the fucking world, and I'm the main dom, like male dom on kink, so I feel like some eyes are on me, and they're looking like, oh, well, that silly-looking motherfucker can do it, so I'll choke her, or I can slap her in the face, or I'll do the things. And it's like, no, you don't get to do that.
It's so funny, too, because even when Nikki had been in porn for a lot longer than me, when I started, I think she had already been in, like, 4 or 5 years or something. And when I started shooting with you, she was like, why are you into this? And it's the only thing that made her like uncomfortable because she didn't understand it. She was like, I could never really be into that, so I don't get it. And she was like really concerned. She was like, are you okay? Like mentally, like what's going on? And it took a while.
Is there something that's deep rooted? Like why do you need this to happen?
Yeah, it took a while.
I mean, it's been quite some time now, so I almost don't even really remember what my thinking was, but I don't know. I genuinely was like, this is just something that I just don't get, like,
yeah, you're
simply
very foreign.
Because it's just not something that I'm into. But once I think what made it click for me that she explained was that it was similar to how like body suspension is for her,
right?
Like hook suspension, where it's just like an overwhelming release. And then I kind of started thinking about her personality and how she's often like pent up and doesn't release in a lot of different ways. And then I kind of, like, looked at what she's doing with you, and I was like, oh, now I see it.
There it is.
I get it. Okay. Whatever. Have fun.
As long as you're good,
And I think it's therapeutic. It seems like most of the girls, when it's over with, that they're, like, there's this release, like you said, and they can let it go. And I don't know if I've seen you since this happened, but because I try to be a responsible man, and I take my ego and throw it away, because it's not worth it, and it gets in the way of a lot of things. And I'm in my late 40s. My wife just got into her 40s, and it's not healthy for a female to be on birth control, especially for an extended amount of time at a certain age. Mm-hmm. So we decided we weren't having kids or any more kids because we have one spawn. So I was like, I'll go under the knife and get snipped. And I talked to every man that I knew and was like, what happened? Like, you've had this happen. How is it? And they're like, it's nothing. They deaden it. You feel a little, and it's done. Fuck, I got this. This is nothing. I went in there. And for the first time in, how long have we been married? Long time. I had a strange woman with her hand on my balls. And she's rubbing it. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she was like, well, it's going to be a little cold, but then it's going to get really hot. And I was like, okay, but what is it doing? Because I'm like, I got somebody touching my balls. Bare balls. And she was like, this is going to deaden it so you don't feel the shots. And I was like, this is fantastic. I don't have to feel the needles. And he comes in a few minutes later and he says, you ready to get started? And I was like, sure. because I'm like, I'm not going to feel anything. All of a sudden, I felt, and he put a fucking clamp on my nut. And I'm like, what the fuck? I thought there was, okay, maybe he, no, I didn't forget, because I would have seen the needle and the, nope, all right, I'm just, maybe he's prepping me. Mm-hmm. And he starts moving, and I'm just like looking, and all of a sudden I smell something. And I'm like, shit, they would tell me that you'd smell burning flesh. Fuck, is that my balls I smell?
Oh. And I'm,
what the fuck is going on? So he finally finishes that first nut, and he unclamps, and I'm like, oh. But I start getting super lightheaded, like yeah. really lightheaded. And he's like, how you doing up there, buddy? And of course, because like I'm a big motherfucker, they're like, oh, tough guy, how you feeling now? And I'm like, I'm okay. And he was like, this is usually where people start passing out. No one's ever told me they passed out, and why would they be passing out? Because they're not supposed to feel it, you sadistic fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, we're gonna go on to the next one. Clamp, and I'm like, fuck! And like, he's like, you sure you're okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm good, because the macho, I'm not gonna let you know it fucking hurts.
Yeah.
So I lay there, he finishes it up, and then the sick bastard on top of this, and I wish I could remember his name, because I would blast him. But at the same time, because of men and their ego, we don't go around and be like, hey, dude, how bad did it hurt when they did it? Like, you don't get into that because you're like, maybe I was just a pussy. Maybe I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
But he never gave me the shots, any of that. And all of this long story, not for sympathy, but to tell you that I went through an entire vasectomy with numb skin on my balls. But I felt both of the clamps both times. I felt the little incision. I felt the snip, the pressure they told me when he cut the tube. The sick bastard finishes up, and I'm fucking, I finally got what girls who work with me feel, why they love me. That endorphin rush to where you're high as a fucking kite, and you're just like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I got it because I went through so much fucking pain. But the sick bastard gets up, and he's like, okay, man, you did great. Good job. Just in case you want to see what I took out of you, it's over there on the table. Like, you motherfucker, because you know I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to go look at it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Just so you know, it's not long, and it looks like tiny elbow macaroni. And there were two of them sitting there. Just a little bitty tube. They were like that if it were to be straightened out, and he just took them out and burned the ends. And that didn't help the lightheadedness, because now I'm like, fuck, that's what, and I just sat there. They finally were like, we're going to go get your wife. And I'm like, no, I'm cool. And I'm still laying there, dick out, legs spread wide, not giving a shit who walks in the room. And they finally brought her back in. She's like, are you sure you're okay? I was like, yeah, I just feel like maybe I don't want to stand up too quick because I'm really fucking lightheaded. And because they were like, oh, it's an outpatient. You can drive yourself. You don't need to bring anybody. Fuck them. They're liars. The nurses didn't have them because no one knows. So what are you going to do? Go back and say, hey, he forgot to give me the shots. All he's got to do is say, I gave him the shots. He's a pussy.
Oh,
so it makes me wonder how many of fucking people have been put through this doctor. And I told my main physician, and she was like, how'd the vasectomy go? And I told her, and she was like, did you want to report this? And I was like, no, it's over. Like, how am I going to prove it?
Yeah. God, they even make you, like, have somebody waiting for you when you go to the dentist.
Yeah.
Like.
But it was supposed to be deadened and get a couple shots, and you don't feel anything, and you're, oh, it's a little sensitive, and you go home and put ice on it. No.
Not for
That's
you.
That's wild.
But, like I said, the best part is now I've learned that why when they lay there, because I've always been like, I know there's an endorphin rush. I know they're going through this really cool experience. I'm going to let them have it. And now I can relate.
You know it.
It is pretty great. I was really lucky that. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. She's leaving to pee.
Okay.
That I was lucky enough to have my first like bondage experience through you.
Right.
Like, God forbid it would have been like.
Thank God. If it was somebody else.
They didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Because there's a lot of, there still are. There's not as, well, there are. There's many because unfortunately, like I said, the mainstream industry is more like, oh, I can choke her like that and I can slap her face. And
even tying people up and stuff, I'm like, I don't think that's right. That rope doesn't look right.
Well, there's a certain company out there now who seems to be a little higher end in their production.
I feel like I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And they've started deviling in, kind of delving in. Yeah, kind of. They're trying to stick their toe in the BDSM world. Uh-huh. And I'm hearing a lot of bad shit. I'm hearing things that aren't so good. And you know me, I'm very much like you. I want us all to be good at this, and I want us all to have fun, and I want us all to be safe, and I want everything to be consensual. And when I find out that you have someone who may or may not be into this, but from everything I can see, they are not, then they have put zero effort into trying to learn. And well, if that guy can do it, surely I can.
Yeah, and I've worked for like other reputable BDSM companies, and I'm like, I'm never doing that again. Right. Fuck that place. That was not how it's supposed to be done, and I don't know much about being a dom in that sense, but I know that wasn't right.
Right. And I mean, I can't stress it enough because, I can't stress enough that just because you see something on the internet doesn't mean you can do it. And that's not just for like double badge, double anal, or JP waterboarding someone, because I'm finding out there's a bunch of jackasses that think, well, I can do that too. And recently I heard a story of someone who waterboarded someone with root beer. I don't even understand that.
That would be horrifying.
It doesn't even make sense. No. But the same person also did a scene with capsaicin oil. You know what that is?
No.
It's like the super high concentrate stuff that makes peppers hot. So it's basically like acid. So because it's a thing, and I've seen people do it. And I'll tell you the horror story, and then I'll tell you something that almost makes me cry every time I tell the story because it's such a sweet story.
Oh my God.
So this person's like, I'm going to do capsaicin. And the model's like, fuck, I'm down. Like, she's a badass, and she...
But where does it go? On your face?
Put it around the nipples. Maybe you put it on the outer labia. It depends on how close you want to get it to sensitive things.
I don't like that.
I don't fuck with it. I actually took it off of a limit sheet because I'm like, I don't... It's... No, it's not... There's sexy suffering, and then there's the you're just kind of being a shit.
Torture.
Right. And I'm not end up doing the being a shit thing because I can do other things. So anyway, they do it, and she signed off, and she's like, I'm cool. And then when it was done, she was like, okay, I need some things to get this off. Like, I need some milk. And they were like, wait a minute, what? I need milk. I need something to get this off of me. And they were like, I think there's yogurt in the fridge. So she had to, what little bit of yogurt was there, to try and help ease the pain, and then put her clothes on and get on a fucking plane and fly from the Pacific Northwest back down to Vegas.
Oh, the Pacific Northwest.
So... Mm-hmm. I'm going to be vague because of the people that know.
Yeah, okay.
Know.
Yeah, okay. Yep, got it.
So, and she tells me the story, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then had the audacity to call her and say, hey, I want to do this with another model. Can you tell them how much fun you had? And she was like, you mean you want me to lie? Because I don't mind the things that we did, but I'm not going to tell them how fun it was because you weren't prepared to do the shit that you did. So, the better story is... I used to run the upper floor, and there was a couple that was up there at the time, and their stage names were Brother and Sister, which is
That's amazing. Whole
level of hot. And they were both very good-looking people, and they were hardcore DS. She stood there with her head down, and you every once in a while, you'd see she was so into being submissive that you were like, you okay? Like, you wouldn't check with her, because you're like...
Do you need rescue?
Yeah. Give me a sign.
Yeah.
And they did a scene, and he was putting it all over the nipples, and he was putting it all over her pussy, and she's usually really good about, she just, to the point that tears roll, and she would just handle it. But she started screaming, he jumped up, he untied her once the scene was over, and he did it, because she would let him do until he was done. And then when it was over, he untied her, he threw in a trench coat, and he takes off running. This is the upper floor at the armory. Runs all the way down the stairs and takes off. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? The next week we have a party. He shows up and they're both there and they're smiling. And I was like, just out of curiosity, before we start rolling, and I don't want to talk about this on camera. I was like, was everything okay? Because you guys ran and you seem like everything's okay. But I just want to make sure that, you know, was there something we could have helped you with? He was like, no. I had friends at my house with a warm bath of milk waiting on her when I got there. So that was his aftercare. Yeah, you see, I'm like, it's the sweetest shit ever. Because it's beautiful that he's like, I'm going to go so hardcore, but I'm also going to put so much effort into taking care of you and giving everything back to you that I took away. I was like, that's so fucking sweet.
That's awesome.
And this motherfucker's like, I think there's some yogurt in the refrigerator.
Oh, God.
Motherfucker.
Even like, now, Kink has had me dom quite a few times now. I don't know if I've kind of like, earned my wings, you know, subbing for as long as I have. And like, even me, I'm like, I've shot with people that I know really well, like Lance. I'll like kick him in the balls and I'm just like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, no, that's great. I really like it. And there's like pre-cum shooting out of his dick and he's just like, no, it's really good.
I'm gonna
hit you with a cane now. Just wanna make sure you're good. Like every time they're like, you don't have to ask every time. I'm like, okay. I've been there and I just wanna make sure you're good.
Right. And it also takes, I've got a fan right now that she's really been kind of hounding me on social media, and I finally hit her up this morning. I was like, look, excuse me, I need you to understand that I do the best that I can. I don't have millions of people because I don't have that many followers.
Right.
But I have enough people that contact me that I try and reach out and I try and talk to people, especially there's people who hit me up and they're going through shitty times, or there's something that's, they just need someone. And I'm like, I'll talk with you. But this one was pretty persistent on and on and on. And I finally was like, I need you to relax. I need you to slow down and know that I only have so much time to do so many things. And this, I will do my best, but I need you to chill back. And she was, I forget why I brought that up now. Damn it.
What did you just say? I was talking about domming on Kink, checking in a lot with Lance, kicking balls. That's probably not your relative.
It was because she was, that's what it is. She's like, I need someone who can do the things that you do, because every dom that I find, and she quotes doms, they keep pulling back, are you okay? Or they do a forced orgasm and they pull back and like, oh my God, is that too sensitive? And she's like, I need people to do these
things. With confidence.
Yeah. And it comes with asking the questions. Are you sure this is okay? And then you get to where you start learning people and you learn their mannerisms and you can read them and you're like, okay, they're right. Okay, let me stop, because that might have been the one that's going to break them, and I don't want to, I want to get to that edge, but I don't want to cross the line.
Yeah.
That's such close attention that, like, I think no matter what, even if, no matter who you are, it literally just takes practice of doing it over and over, and just like using a big variety of people to collect, like, okay, that's that little thing that I'm gonna look for to pull back that certain thing, like, or go forward, because I feel like you'll see like an average kind of reaction to certain things.
Yeah,
after
like a common
denominator.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's interesting. That's like my favorite thing.
And it's because it's when you perform and you perform well, you learn those things because you want to be good at what you do. And you, even me, like I get asked, they're like, what's your favorite thing to do? And I was like, please women. That's what I like to do. And it might come through waterboarding or pushing them until they cry or ripping 180 clothespins off in a zipper situation. But I do it because it pleases them. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing. Just like with both of you, when you perform, you are become attentive because you want to be good. And I put the same amount of effort into making girls come as I do making them cry. And people are like, wait a minute, what? And I was like, I don't use the penis. It stays, I put it in a box and sits up there on my desk and I don't bring it out on set. And I keep my ego tucked under my dick. So there's none of that on set. Mm-hmm. So I can be attentive and I can pay attention and put in that effort and glance up and go, oh, she liked that more than she liked this or whatever. But people have to actually care.
Totally. Yeah. It blows my mind when people don't take that approach. Like, it's pretty common, I feel like, for people in porn to just not, like, pick up that learning route of like paying attention, being attentive. Some people just completely skip over that, and I'm just like, how? That's like, for me, the best part.
Right.
That's happened to us on set, like when we were shooting like a lesbian scene, like an anal scene, and Nikki was shooting it, and you could tell that one of these girls like was being like really rough and like
overly wild, like not reading anybody at all, just zoned in on what she's doing, which is playing with toys. And this, I'm looking while I'm shooting camera, like, oh, that girl's face, like wincing a little bit as this girl's just going crazy. And I'm like, stop, what the fuck are you, like,
right.
Not really what the fuck, but
are you okay?
Are you okay? Maybe it's okay ease to that back. I don't know if that's gonna, like, you know, just, and when directors don't do that too, when camera,
they'll just kind of ignore
that, it. Just let it go on. Yeah. Like, that's where all the problems start, in my opinion.
Well, and I think that's the big problem too, is it's gotten to a point in this industry, and one of the things I like about my podcast is I can say whatever the fuck I want, and I don't give a fuck if people like it. And I'm very much one person who will say that I'm 15 years, almost 16 years deep in this industry. Yeah. I've earned my right to be called a director. I've earned the status of being a director. Mm-hmm. I am not some fuck who learned how to point a camera in the right direction and point a bunch of, like, push the right button, scream action, and call myself a director. Yeah. Because I am attentive. I do pay attention. I do stop. And I, because I've been doing it long enough, I will say, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I've had to do it because you have people who come in, and it's boy or girl, and I've shot all kind of content, and I've had girls come in, and they try and pull that macho shit just as much as a guy does. And it's kind of like, if you don't know, just ask, or just don't.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. And I'm not saying that all directors are that way, but then unfortunately it's the same thing with, I think, with anything, that there's a couple of bad apples and it makes a lot of people look like shit. So there's this.
Yeah.
As a director, you have to make sure that talent is treated accordingly, and by that meaning that they are treated at a higher level, but not allowed to be acting like a diva.
Totally.
And there's a fine line to pamper you, but not allow diva bullshit.
Totally.
But it's also to stand up for their own crew and not let people talk, like talent fuck with their crew, but also the crew damn well better know you keep your fucking hands to yourself, you keep your fucking mouth to yourself, and you don't talk or treat them any other way than you would treat your mother or your sister. And if that's the way you treat your family, then get the fuck out of here kind of situation.
One point, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. I think that being a director, it's your fucking job to make sure that talent is safe and feels safe, because unfortunately, when we shoot some of the things that we shoot as a model, sometimes you don't know where that limit is because you're fucking so overwhelmed by a lot of different things that, you know, something could push your boundaries and you may not even realize. But
yeah,
I mean, you should speak up if you can, but a lot of times
it's hard
sometimes
in the
that's
moment
not an option
for people. Like when people get into the zone and they're focusing on performing and they're focusing on the camera and looking good and their scene partner, everything stacked up, I think it becomes, or I've at least seen over the years how hard it is for some people to like just take a pause or whatever. So I feel like it's 100% more so the director and the crew's.
I think a lot of it too. Yeah,
like,
at 100%. Because it's when I used to run boy girl sites or even girl girl sites, it was, but I've obviously spent a lot more time with boy girl stuff.
Yeah.
That I stop the guy. I don't give a fuck if it interrupts your hard on and you need to fight. I don't care. Because if I see you doing something that I think she's uncomfortable with, whether I've worked with her or not, I'm going to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job. Your job is to keep that hard on and come when I tell you to come. And at least look pretty when you're doing it. Because even with me, there's times that I talk to Mr. Disco, my videographer, and there's times I walk off set and I'm like, fuck, I forgot there was camera on for a minute. Because I get into it so hard sometimes I have to like, oh, pull back. Because I have been in situations where I'm like, I'm going to, don't put your mouth on her. We have
don't bite her.
But there's, you know, you get into it and if there's that, you know, we've done this. The cycle to where you're just getting off so hard on each other, it just gets crazier and crazier, and maybe you do need somebody to go, hey, stop it. You need to fucking ease off a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's not being dangerous, but it's, hey, this is, remember, there's cameras and this is production and you're having fun, but take it back a little
pull
bit.
Pull it back.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a lot of times I think an accountability issue. Like, I think a lot of people are able to weasel their way into adult. You know, there's like not a lot of people. If you figure out what it takes to get into porn and then you're there, all of a sudden it's like you are able to be on your own production with the people that you chose to be there, and so there's all this room to do whatever you want. And often the people that are working for you don't feel comfortable saying anything, so it's like
they also want a job because at Kink you were a full-time employee and you had benefits and they took taxes out. We were employed. We weren't contracting like all of us do now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little different because out here in the real world, the contractor, mine obviously, I'm not going to have anybody that doesn't have the balls to stand up and tell me to eat a dick and JP fucking stop it and like stand up to me. If you're not going to stand up to me, then I don't need you working for me.
Yeah.
That's why I love Disco so much.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
But out here, people are more like they want the job. So maybe I'll let that slide because, well, fuck, director's cool with it. And I mean, maybe she's okay. And they let shit slide because I'm not going to speak up because I want to get hired again. I want to come back and do the job tomorrow and I want to be the regular so I got a regular gig so I'm paying my rent rather than being the one who's ethically sound and may stand up for someone and take a chance of having to find another job. And it's a hard choice because,
yeah, totally.
But I also think that, well, no, I was going to make a general statement that most of the people that keep their shit together and are ethical seem to to shine brighter than others, but there's several of them up there that are bags of shit.
Yeah.
There's several of them. Alrighty, you know what we're gonna do is we're before we get too into this, because this will next thing you know, I'm gonna get mad enough to start saying names, and I'm not at that point in my podcast.
And we're gonna be like,
so, speaking of production, because I do have notes today, I'm planned for this. Ooh. Even though it was, again, it was an awesome surprise for you to join us, Nikki. That was really awesome. Is let's talk about Dyke Down.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we're on the thing of production. Let's talk about a good production. Let's talk about a quality production. Let's talk about what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, I just relaunched. I did a soft relaunch last week. So I launched my site in general on New Year's of this year.
Okay.
And then I had new content coming out for like 6 weeks. Things were going great. Everybody loved it. And then I kind of had to shut things down and rework some stuff on the back end. For about 6 months, I went and worked in the weed industry, all this stuff. But then I came back to it with some fresh inspiration to make this site what I originally intended it to be, which is, you know, the premier destination spot for lesbians to go and find something special.
It's hot, might I add, because I've watched it, and I don't just make it. I feel like I'm not just a client, I'm the president. Like, I watch porn just as much as I like making it, and I've seen the stuff, and it looks really good. Like, it's shot well, it's done well, and it's... clearly not a lesbian, but I look at it and I'm like, it's not the frilly girl. It's not the, it seems, and not when I say frilly, not saying that it's not done well, but it's not like the, oh, she's in hot pink and she's in neon green. And it's, right. You know what I'm saying? The bigger brands, it seems more genuine, more real.
It's funny. My entire career. So like when I was like 17, I started thinking about wanting to do porn because, I started looking for stuff and I had just come out and I was like, I found queer porn that's made in like San Francisco with like the hardcore queers. And then I found like Burning Angel, like the alt stuff. And then there's mainstream, all these different things. And there was not anyone that was like a true, like androgynous lesbian, just like fucking girls like I would. So that's what literally made me want to do porn. And I've been in for 8 years and the whole time I was like, I want to make real lesbian porn, and people are like, okay, like that's like number one search term. Okay, we're gonna put you with a girl and do the normal bullshit, and it would still turn out just not quite like what I would do off camera.
Right.
It didn't have that like genuine like mutual desire that you can really see, in my opinion.
Right.
So I was like, all right, when I start my site, I'm super picky about casting. I'm super picky about crew. I make sure that everything is revolved around the curating of desire and passion and showing that special little thing. I don't know. Keeping the crew really small and just making it look like the sex that I have off camera, which I've never managed to do otherwise.
Right. It seems from what I've seen, it seems it's got a level of intimacy that seems a lot more real. And again, I haven't sat around and watched a lot of lesbians get down, but what I, living in San Francisco for years and being exposed and seeing certain things, there's the porn version, and then there's what you're doing, which clearly is a porn version, but I think it seems more accurate. It's sexy as fuck. Like, I'm like, I can get down with this shit. Like, it's because it's not so... And maybe it's because of the way you actually get down, because I'm like, that I can relate more from my personality. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna be Nikki.
Pleasing the girl, like I'm there, and it's like I'm wearing a dick and I'm working my ass off to please this girl. And if she like, it's a strap-on site. That's kind of like the niche that I went with, or one of them. Everything is strap-on, but if we're 10 minutes into the scene and the girl seems to like my hand more than the dick, like, I don't feel it, first of all, and second of all, like, I'm literally just there to make her look like she's having a good time.
Right.
So.
Not to mention, though, you look real good with a dick. Nikki can't go.
Yeah.
She can seriously go as hard as a dude who has a fucking dick attached to them for, like, an hour, and I try that shit. I wear a strap-on for, like, 10 minutes, and I'm like... Fuck this!
I need a respirator.
She just goes. But it's, I'm like, wow,
it's literally
attached.
All like, it's weird. Like when I get into it, it literally just takes a girl that I'm attracted to and just tuning into those like minute body language things and just looking, and I'm not feeling it, so I'm just basing everything off of her reactions, and I'm like just zoned in on making her feel good. Right. And so I'll just keep going. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, and I just I also try to make that look stylish and cool, because on top of the sex not always looking how I like it, in most porn, I feel like things are just like often tacky and like porny, right. And I just don't want to do that. I'm like, I want this to look like you're watching a mainstream television show, and these are two normal women who just really want to make each other come.
Right.
Like, that's as simple as...
And it's hot, and I like that. And by no means am I taken away. I've seen pictures of you naked also. so there's not a damn thing wrong with your body, but it's like there's something about the way you keep your pants on or you keep your briefs on, that, and I don't know if that helps the strap on or what, but it's hot as fuck. Like, I was like, this is some shit. I might have to go. Like, it's good. I really like it. So.
Thank you.
Without being too pervy on your content, I personally think it's some of the best stuff I've seen out there. That's what
wow.
I think.
Well, that's very sweet.
Yeah, I think that she's like, I don't know. I'm like, even getting behind Dyke Down for her, like, I'm just really working on like my OnlyFans and Dyke Down. Like, we collaborate together on like ideas or girls, because I'm like a really nerdy person about like knowing the ins and outs of the industry. I do that with any job that I've had. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's so-and-so, her rate's this much. She's, you know, over 21. She's like, I know all that information. So she can just come to me.
She's like an encyclopedia of porn.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so she'll come to me for that. She'll be like, wait, what, do you think this girl? I'm like, no, because of this. And she's like, oh good, okay. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about ideas, and sometimes I end up shooting camera, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
So it's really this collaborative effort, but I think it's really awesome that she's able to like do her thing in such a capacity and be so comfortable and awesome at it, because so many people are asking, when's Lee going to be in it? When's Lee going to be in it? I'm like, enjoy it for what it is without me for a while, you know, like maybe we'll do a scene where we just like do a crazy DP or something on me, but like enjoy this.
Right. Like, because this is definitely more you. Mm-hmm. This is your site.
This is all her.
But I think, too, and I think probably, and it, again, it shows with the content, I feel like it's the reason I started this instead of doing the vids and the all the other crap to try. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me stick with doing things that I'm I heard somebody recently, and they said this. They're like, if you're not passionate about it, stop doing it, because you're wasting your time. So I was like, why am I fucking with all this? The things I'm passionate about is, like I said, humanizing us and letting people know that we're actually smart people that don't have daddy issues or haven't been abused. And I mean, this is, like I said, it's passion. And so I feel like when you, in watching people that have the passion, I think it's coming through.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of another reason that I started it. I was like, I got to my like seventh year in porn, and I was like, okay, I've been literally aiming on making a website for 7 years now, and I've just never done it. I basically hate everyone at this point. I don't want to work for anybody. Like, so over it. And I'm like, okay, clearly I've lost my passion, because I used to love showing up on porn sets. And I'm just like, that's not there anymore. And I started this thing, and I just truly love it. Like, I wake up often at, you know, 7 a.m. and I'm just like pumped to go get on my computer and start editing.
I think it's really awesome to see something that you're super passionate about, because you can do gangbangs and you can do double anal better than most women. It's pretty fucking absurd, but that's not what you're into. So like, finally finding something that you're super good at, you're into, you're passionate about, it's really awesome from my perspective, because I'm just like, look at her go. Mm-hmm. Look at her go. She doesn't have to take two dicks in the butt, because she doesn't like, I know you'll do it and it's fine. Yeah. You make money, you're good at it, but it's not what you want to do.
Right.
Exactly. I've always compromising at some level.
Right. I've done a couple of scenes where I wanted, and I told the girl, I was like, I know what I'm about to ask you sounds weird, but I want you to do a masturbation scene like no one's here. And they're like, I'm like, I know. I know it's not porn. I know I'm not going to see anything. I want the real thing. And it's the two times I've done it were the hottest solo scenes I've ever seen. I had one of them get down, and she got a fucking pillow between her legs with her panties on. And of course, it always the hottest part is when they get face down, because now you're not getting anything. You're just like, oh, what the hell? They, I don't know, something about it makes
it
hot.
I see it.
But it, yeah, and she starts doing this thing with this pillow, and I'm like this fucking walking hard on at this point. I'm like, and again, she's wearing panties. You are getting a little side boob, but she's getting down so hard, and she kind of just, everything got shut off because she's doing it the way she wants it. Mm-hmm. And I, like I said, I think that's the closer you can stay to it being a real thing, and be able to capture it also beautifully. I mean, fuck, it's there.
What else could you ask for?
Yeah.
yeah, well, I don't know. It's, I so think... far it's going. I, just like you said, I really love also humanizing everything. So I started a YouTube channel of just kind of like talking with the girls beforehand, having my camera guy interview me. And
smoking
just
weed.
Smoking weed, just making it all around as genuine as possible, and not not conforming to the porn industry. I'm right. Like not considering it a porn site even. I'm just like, this is just a site where there's videos. Some of them have me wearing a dick. Some are just for fun, but I don't know. It's a lot of fun, and I'm just going with it.
I think it'll blow
That's
up.
That's awesome.
I'm just waiting. I think it will blow up.
We shall see.
I think it should, because there, and I feel like there is, like you were talking about earlier, and I'm by no means, you know, throwing shade, but I feel like there is some, and not all, because I haven't seen it all, but there is some hyper queer oriented porn that is so artsy or so politically driven that you lose the genuine stuff. You don't get it because it's too much trying to. And again, I'm
like, look at
don't
these two
hate
people
me.
Who identify as this and this, and they're doing this. It's just like, I love that. I mean, that's awesome. It needs to happen. It's just like, I'm passionate about that too, but I'm not as passionate about that as just dicking down a girl that I really like.
Right. And the name's awesome too. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I get it. I see what she did there. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was like, we need to buy that site now.
Yeah.
I remember.
Have you, no one had that? Like, you didn't have to go, like, hunt someone down and, like, offer them a lot of money for
no,
that?
No, I literally were,
like, was it, like, $5?
Yeah, it was, like, $3. I don't know. I just remember, I come up with my ideas when I'm smoking weed, and I remember, I had just started thinking, like, okay, I'm really gonna make a website, and I had no idea what to call it. I'm always terrible at thinking of names, and I was laying in bed, and I just, like, popped into my head, and I like got up and went and bought the domain and went back to bed.
That's
like,
fucking crazy. Yeah. One of my favorite names is a director at Kink. Her director name, I'm pretty sure you've worked with her, is Ex Libris. She used to work with me up on the upper floor, you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah.
And they, I believe is the proper pronoun,
yes,
have their own site, and it's called Bonus Hole Boys.
I've heard of that. That's golden.
It yes. is, because it's everyone's like, oh, look at these trans women, and there's FDM. Beautiful, but it's, yeah, it's the opposite, because there's not, and I don't know, maybe it's too taboo still for people to, I think
it
it's hot as
on.
Fuck, because it's you have two men face to face just getting down having sex, but he is putting his penis in his vagina, and I'm like,
Bonus hole boy.
Bonus hole boy.
That's so cool.
When they came
so
to me cool. with that fucking name, I'm like, I'd hug you and kiss you if you'd let me, but I don't want to get fucking thrown out of the fourth floor window, so I'm just going to say, great job.
Yeah, no, that's bomb. Yeah, it's funny how mainstream porn and everyone in general is really, like, accepting the trans woman stuff lately, but, like, nobody even has started talking about the whole other side of it, which is like female to male trans guys.
Right.
And there's always been like Buck Angel, and everybody refers back to that, but there are all these really hot
younger
trans
yeah.
dudes, and I think that eventually that will blow up too.
Right.
Which is super cool.
Hopefully soon.
I feel like, for lack of a better term, I feel like the because it seems, and this is, I have a computer, but I'm not going to dig into it because it's going to take too much time. But from what, over the years, it seems like porn is consumed a lot more by men than it is by women.
For sure.
So I feel like it's not quite as gay feeling
yeah.
to jerk off because she has a penis,
mm-hmm.
whereas it is that he has a pussy.
Yes, totally.
Which I've always been with the whatever makes your dick thick. If that makes you fucking happy, jerk off to it. And right. if you are beating yourself up so much like that, maybe you need to do a better job of looking inward and just enjoy what you're jerking off to.
Totally.
But, because I'm telling you, if I'm sitting there watching anything on fucking, I'm flipping through and I follow everybody on Twitter. If I see something, I'm like, oh, no, oh, I'm going to need a minute. Like, if I feel a twitch, I'll go to the bathroom. I don't give a fuck what it is.
I love it.
It's sometimes awkward when it's people I know too well, and I'm like, well, that I just probably should never tell them that I'm jerking off to them, but whatever.
Don't we all secretly yeah. jerk off to our friends here?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the thing. It's part of the club.
What else are we supposed to do? I've fallen into a habit of literally just watching, like, POV amateur of people where you never see their face because I don't usually want to think about somebody I know.
You're like, oh, that's trying to watch so-and-so, porn. That's so-and-so.
Unless I meet somebody and I'm like, you're really hot, and I go for that specifically.
Yeah, I'm going to go find you, and I'm going to jerk off to you until I... Now it's weird or it's awkward or I'm done with it.
Yeah, Nikki and I have, like, a pretty unique relationship. Like, I like to say that our... Someone posted this not too long ago, that their relationship isn't open, but it's, like, ajar. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's very much us. And it was really funny because Nikki likes the younger teen girls.
Oh, my God.
You do. It's fine. It's totally okay. It just makes me feel old, but it's totally okay. And for a while, she was regularly having sex with this one younger girl. And I'm just like, I just don't get the young thing. But one day, I was on Pornhub, and I never, ever watch porn to get off. I just don't.
Right.
And I came across the girl that she was having sex with, her porn, and it was like this fake scenario where she was like stealing.
Been caught stealing.
Caught stealing, and then like they take you to the back, and then they're like, you're gonna get arrested unless you suck my dick or whatever. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so horny. And she got home, and I was just like, I jerked off to her. She was like, what? What? And I was like, it's just, I don't know, the setup got me. She was there. I was there.
I jerked off to your girlfriend. I'm sorry.
Yeah. She was like, what?
That's kind of hot. You made reference to, kind of to segue, weed. Mm-hmm. Do you, are you both partakers in the marijuana, or is it Nikki, or you kind of, because you've said it several times, you're like, you like to smoke.
She's like Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, she's...
I'm really particular, I'm like dainty about it, because I'm like, don't give me a blunt, there's tobacco. Like, I need something...
Wait, I thought a blunt was... weed wrapped in a cigar and a spliff was tobacco. And...
Yeah, but the wrap is tobacco.
Oh, because it's the tobacco.
And I'm like, I can taste it. Like, I need like a little organic leaf or something. Like,
she likes like a joint.
But I
and
like...
she doesn't like weed if it's like, she won't smoke like a half lit or a half burned through joint later. No. Like, she needs it to be like
fresh.
Nice. And
yeah, I'm really...
I will find a blunt on the street and smoke.
I'm super bougie about it. I like edibles. Edibles are nice. But she smoked like all day, every day. I couldn't do that, or I literally wouldn't be able to function.
I've got friends that are that way, and I think that they've been that way for years. And I use this cool term, microdosing, because I'm kind of a big baby, and I'm like, whew, anything past that, I'm like, my heart's beating too fast. Are the police here? What's going on? Like, I'm that guy. I used to smoke so much weed, and then one day I would turn into Craig from Friday, and I got super paranoid, and I had to stop.
It happens. I'm waiting for the day.
So I now, like I said, now I microdose.
That's good. I mean,
but I only do it like once a day, because at that point, unless it's like a party, and then I might once after the 2 or 3 hours, I'll be like, again, because it's just enough to take the edge off. Because I don't know, for some reason, somewhere along the lines, that control thing became mm-hmm. something I didn't like to let go of as much. Because when I was in my 20s, I was like, acid and ecstasy at the same time? Can I have some weed with that? Like, I didn't give a fuck. And right. Now I'm like, I don't even like having a big buzz. Like, I like drinking, but I don't like being drunk. Like, right. I'm...
I finally got to that point recently. So I'm just waiting for the weed to fuck me over.
I mean, I think creatively, you either come up with really amazing ideas while you're high or some of the worst ideas I've ever heard. Like, she'll like meet me at the door and be like, I wrote the best shit ever. And I'm like, did you though? And she's like, come on. I'm like, ugh. I sit on the couch and I'm like, she's like, isn't it hilarious? And I was like, try again.
Luckily not as often though.
Yeah, you woke up in the morning, you're like, that shit was so dumb. I'm like, yeah, I know it was.
Dude, I was in, we had a band house. One of the last bands I was in, Then we had the practice room in the house with our bass player's parents moved out. And they were like, you guys can have the house. Just don't fuck up my house because they moved down to Florida. Ooh. So we moved the band room in there in one of the bedrooms, and we all lived there. And we were all on fucking acid one night, and we're like, let's go record. So we go up and we record, and then we spend, you know, we spend some time in there, and the rest of the night we talk about how fucking amazing, and I can't wait till tomorrow. Let the fucking, we're going to just have everybody over and have them listen to it. And we went and played it, and it sounded like a bunch of people that were deaf and had no rhythm. And that were clearly on acid.
On acid, yeah. That's hilarious.
There was no, it was like, we laughed about it really hard and then erased it before anyone ever found out about it. Because we were like, this is good. We don't have a career yet, but we want to try and get one. And this is going to end us before we start.
I mean, that's like her, or it's the polar opposite, like coming up with Dyke Down. Like,
yep. You never know what you're going to get. But yeah, I pretty much start every day by drinking my caffeine and smoking a blunt and just letting it flow. See what happens.
Yeah, it's very different than me. You can guarantee that I will just get dumber and dumber.
Yeah, I'm that way. I'm like, I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. Like, I kind of look around and I'm trying to think. I'm like, fuck, how long have I been staring at my phone? What's on TV? Fuck it. I was just watching it for 20 minutes and the commercial's on and I have no idea what this commercial's about. Like, I'm so dumb when I get too stoned.
I make the mistake of going on Instagram Live when I'm really high and Nikki will be there and I'm just talking to fans and she's like, get the fuck off your phone. Like, you're gonna say something, like, you already have said a lot that, like, yeah, should not be said. And I'm like, what? Like,
it's so bad. Like, there's nothing worse than just being able to go live to 100,000 people for her when she smokes weed. It's a thing. She'll get, like, because people start saying mean shit because they're like, you're clearly high and fucked up. So then they'll start making fun of her. And then she gets, like, confused and angry and starts being mean to them. And I'm like, just get the fuck off.
That's why people think I'm, like, on heroin or something.
Yeah, I'm like, and I'm like, you're actually on drugs.
I've never done that in my whole life. But people are always like, heroin. And I'm like, it's just sweet.
Like, don't you just eat a bag of dicks and quit judging.
Yeah, why don't you just fuck yourself, Timmy? Timmy from Alabama. Like,
I love that every feed in the background is probably Nikki, like, reaching over, snatching the phone away from you, and then the phone, the feed.
You can
is.
Just hear her, stop, get
and she'll off. Try to put me on it while I'm, like, trying to do something around the house, and I'm just like,
people, I'm like, the fans want to see you, Nikki, and all they do is ask for you.
It's so bad. It's fine.
Yeah. So it's better that you smoke like me and you get inspired when you smoke. Yeah. That's.
It's good for me to smoke at nighttime, just like before bed. You know, calms me down. I have really, really bad, like, crippling, like, social anxiety to the point where most of the time, I can't leave my house because I think about, like, people in CVS, like, really irrational things, like, then I gotta drive, but then I'm thinking this other thing, like, all the time. Like,
what if I could stop at a red light and there's a homeless person that wants to talk to me, or someone crosses the crosswalk and waves and stops, and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to
do? Yeah, because then I will stop and be like, here's all my money, and then she's like, what are you, fuck are you doing?
They just waved, why are you out of the car?
Yeah, and it's so stressful for me, so, like, I literally, like, don't sleep during the night, because I'm like, dog food, we need to get the dog, but then there's the cat food. We gotta, okay, oh, I need to work on this thing next week. And she's just, like, snoring away. And so weed definitely helps me. Like, I have a couple edibles at nighttime. Pass the fuck out. That helps.
Have you tried a weighted blanket before?
I have one. I will get under the weighted blanket, the 15-pound blanket with my edibles. And, like, I don't know, man. I think I need to be popping the Xanax or something. I don't do that, but I need something.
Dude, that's the way I fly. That's the only way I can fly. I've never had a problem flying. I was a little like, oh, I'm apprehensive because I'm getting on a plane by myself for the first time when I was younger, or going across country for the first time or something like that. And then there's that lady I married up there who has horrible anxiety. And she's got a lot of it under control, but, like, one of the things is she hated flying. And she would, I don't know if I could do it. And she'd start breaking down. I'm like, we got this. And somewhere along the lines, I'm like, I don't know if I can get on this plane. Like, I get panicky, so I've learned that my little cocktail is I take the smallest of Xanaxes, like the 0.25 milligram, I crack it in half, right as I see the door open and the people getting off the plane, because I gotta time it. As soon as I see them getting off, I'm like, crack that Xanax, pop it, and then chase that motherfucker down with a Benadryl. 6'4", has never been able to sleep on a plane. I'm fucking nodding out, and if I'm lucky to get a Jack and Ginger at the same time, shit, that's the best flight in the fight. You might actually get me to go across seas like that.
Right? I made a mistake. We were going to Tulum, Mexico, and I made a mistake of taking, like, a THC capsule, where I was like, oh, it's just like 25 milligrams, pop it, and I'll go to sleep, whatever. We were at the fucking airport, and I took it at the airport, and it hit me at the airport, and I see cops, and I'm just like, they know what I'm doing. They're not gonna let me on the fucking plane. I get on the airplane, and I literally don't remember getting on the airplane, getting to Mexico, going through customs, getting to the airport, getting the rental car, driving 2 hours to our place, or a day later. Like, I don't remember any of that.
How much fucking, what was it like? What was it, like 500 milligrams?
It was like 25. That's why I was like, I'll be fine.
You're lightweight like me.
Yeah, I didn't remember anything. Like, they were talking about, oh, you took your photo in Mexico to get through customs. I was like, what?
No, I didn't.
This is dangerous as fuck. Like, I can't, nope, never again.
I've heard so many stories about people doing edibles, and then because your liver processes it differently. When you eat it, it becomes, there's a, the science behind it is like when you smoke it, it's like THC 6, I think.
Yeah.
And then when you eat it, it becomes THC 9 or something. And that's the very lame, dumbed down version. But that THC 9 has more psychoactive hallucinogen kind of drug feeling, whereas you get stoned and you're like, oh, I'm kind of dumber and I feel a little weird and I'm kind of spacey or whatever, or paranoid, where this, suddenly you're like, my hands are fucking, wow, these are mine. Like you, it's like you're on acid.
Yeah, I was like, thank God I'm with like friends and Nikki, cause like I'm going to fucking Mexico and I could have been like buried on a beach.
Yeah.
Never again will I do that.
But then, there's Nikki who can smoke the fuck out of it and be like, hey, let me write an essay or come up with a, like, and be completely coherent. And yeah,
yeah.
25 milligrams. If I did 25 milligrams, I'd be screaming, strapped into a love me jacket in the emergency room, because I'd be like, get this big motherfucker restrained before he hurts everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Like, it made me a little anxious with you just saying you ingested 25 milligrams. I'm like, fuck. But I know people, they're like, JP, you're such a lightweight. Like, 5 milligrams gets me like, woo, leave me alone. I'm too high. And they're like, if I don't eat, like, a cookie that's, like, 125, 150 milligrams, I don't even feel it. And I was like, I'm so sorry that it costs so much to keep you comfortable where I get stupid off of what doesn't even affect you.
And it's so different, like, you having a cookie and a brownie versus, like, that came from one smoke shop or, like, a THC capsule that's like pure oil or some shit. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to metabolize in me. Well, I can't really keep track.
And you don't know when. There's always that. And then there's the, I had this great story. A buddy of mine back in LA, he would make brownies. And I was always smart enough that I'll take the brownie and I'll cut off a little piece and I'll stick it in my mouth and I'll go back to drinking my whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sneaks up on you and you're like, woo, I forgot I did that and everything's cool. But like most people, you eat the brownie, I don't feel it, I'm gonna eat another brownie. And next thing you know, half the tray's gone, and then standing next to me, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm really scared right now. I just need to be close to you. I was like, you ate all the brownies again, didn't you? He's like, shh, don't talk about it right now. Because he was so fucked up, I need to be close to you.
I hate how good edibles taste, because I'll start eating edibles, get really fucking high and get the munchies and keep eating the edibles that, like, we have the, like, sour worms that we had to replace it with, like, the trolley sour worms, because I would just eat the whole bags. I'm like, they just taste so good. So we had to actually replace it with real candy, because that was a problem too.
Do you guys have a GoPro?
I have an Osmo, like a DJI version.
Okay. I was gonna say, that's what you should do. You should set up, get you a stand, put it over in a corner, and then just sit, and that way, because those fucking things, especially when you run it on a, because it's just for your entertainment.
Yeah.
Run it like on a 720 or whatever, lower where you can get like 8 hours or whatever, and just watch one night, because it's just as bad as when I was like, we're gonna record music on acid. It's one of those really entertaining, but then erase it before anybody else sees it.
Oh man, I can only imagine.
It's awesome.
The flesh suspensions. Because that was one of the things that, have my water after you start talking so they don't have to watch me drink. When you and I, right before you and I started working together, I saw you, and because, as we all talked about, we all have types, and I have, mine is alt girls and black girls. Like, that's just my thing. Those are the girls I shoot. I love all women, but when you want my attention, I'm like, sup, tattoo girls? And I went, doing my thing, doing my job, perving all over your stuff, and I saw the flesh hook, and I was like, oh, this is my girl. I'm gonna have to talk to her, because it is, because I wanted to do it for so long, and I didn't know the name at the time because I was a child when I first was exposed to it, but this, the okipa, is that the right way, through the chest?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called okipa. And it was this movie, and all of the older people that watch this are gonna be like, oh, I know this, it's called A Man Called Horse.
I didn't
and
see that.
And is it Robert Redford?
I think so.
And the condensed version is he becomes part of a Native American tribe.
Oh, yeah.
But to become part of it, you have to go through the trip, and you have to go through the okipa. And with the traditional way with okipa is it goes through, and they hang, and then when it rips out, now you're part of us.
Yeah.
Most people pass the fuck out as soon as you put the hooks in. They're like, okay, I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it forever, and I was obsessed with it because of that movie. Mm-hmm. And I started meeting people down in L.A., that did it, that was like the group core. Mm-hmm. And then there's several others. There's
core.
I'm
trying to think of some of the others.
Embrace Chaos, I think, is one. Mm-hmm. That's a good buddy of mine that I know from LA. And he kind of does more famous people. Like, I think his claim to fame, well, it's not his claim to fame, but his probably most noticeable person is, like, he's put Dave Navarro up.
That's core. That's his group.
Okay.
Aww. Yeah. Yep.
But either way, I know the guy who does it.
Yeah.
Nikki used to live with him.
So, with Navarro?
Yes.
Okay.
The roomie.
So, we started talking about it, and they were like, JP, we have this tree that we do just for us. We just do it for the right people. Mm-hmm. We don't bring cameras. We'll take pictures if you want, but this is because they were like, why do you want it? Because they're like, we're not going to just do it because you asked for it. And I started telling them why and where it came from, and I wanted the overall experience, and they were like, let us know. And then I woke up one day and was like, no, I don't want you to ever put hooks in my body ever again. Like, it was the same thing as jumping out of a plane. I wanted to go skydiving forever, and one day I was like, the plane works. Why would I jump out of it?
Yeah.
And I think it's just the getting the older thing. But anyway, the with you, you continue to do it. Like, so tell us, like, about...
Yeah.
Give us insight.
When I first started hook suspension, I was living in New York, and I saw, like, pictures of it online. I was like, I want to try this thing. This thing looks intense. I can do intense things. It really wasn't for any, like, sort of, like, spiritual or, like, reason or meditation or anything like that. It was like, this looks extreme. I wonder if I can do it.
Right.
And I was lucky enough that I found a team that worked in New York, and I connected with them, and they're some of my, like, really close friends to this day. My first experience, I tried hanging from my back in, like, a really small loft. There was only, like, two people there, really intimate. And that's pretty much how I keep it now still. It's pretty intimate. I went up without a problem, and it was fucking awesome. I just remember being like, I conquered something, and, like, something that my body would say, no, you can't do this, but actually you can. But it's really your brain telling you can't, but your body's like, yeah, so we're good.
Right.
You could put one in your face and we're good. So that kind of caught my interest, and I then started working with the team and started training a little bit on how to like tie rope and how to, you know, be on deck for like wiping people's blood and like how to do things properly and keeping things sterile and stuff like that. And I got to experience a lot of cool shit. Got to see a lot of people go up, and I got to be a part of a documentary that they filmed as well. And to this day, Nikki actually built me a suspension rig that goes in my garage that we've actually taken out of the garage because it comes apart and then we put it in the backyard.
It's like 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
That was my next question. I was like, how tall was it?
Very, very tall.
Tall enough to get them in the air and let them fly.
Yeah.
It was because my whole goal was to shoot a blow bang where I was hanging from my knees upside down.
Did you shoot that in your yard?
In my garage.
Garage? Because I'm a perv. I didn't see the whole entire thing, but I saw when you were doing that, I was like, oh my fucking God, this might be the best porn ever.
Yeah. I was just like, nobody's ever done this. Let's fucking do it. And she was like, all right, like, she goes to Home Depot with my friend who was gonna rig me, and they built me a fucking great, awesome suspension rig. And I contacted, like, really good performers that I know would be into that, like Owen and like Tommy and people like that. And they were all super down, and we did it. And it was my first time hanging from my knees, and it was awesome. Just pulled straight up, Owen helped me, and I was like, the best time of my life. I was like cackling. so much fun, except when Nikki had to stop it because she was like, you're done. You're done. And I was like,
she was on that like euphoric high or whatever, I think probably as of like a few minutes into it, and it was just going on, and I probably shot like 50 minutes of footage.
Holy fuck.
And it's like she had been, well, obviously hanging from her knees. So being upside down, all the blood was at her head. Plus she decided to take all the cum shots to the eyes, holding them open.
Fucking beast.
I know. So
like, and getting like fucked in the eyes and the ears and the mouth, you know, the
just
whole thing.
Swinging into the dicks and then like hitting her in the eyes. So her eyes are like swollen shut, full of cum, and then her whole head is like a basketball full of blood.
Right.
And like all the veins and capillaries are all busted in her face, and she
and my eyes
literally look like she'd just flown through a car windshield or something.
Fuck.
And I was just like, you're done.
Okay. Yeah, and I was like, I'm trusting your word when you say we're done, we're cutting. I went inside, I didn't recognize myself. I looked in the mirror and I was like, like I was just so swollen, my eyes were like swollen shut, but it was such a great fucking experience. I wish that people could experience that. But generally we will suspend in my backyard and we keep it pretty intimate, and just my best friend is a rigger and he'll do that, and we invite like just a couple friends over who never experienced it or not really into it, just to watch. But I get a lot out of it, honestly, in the same way I think that I do with like BDSM, that like this is my chance to be vulnerable and like release something that I'm pent up on the like regular, like I can't really express.
Yeah, it's very interesting, like if shit's been like sucking for a while, or if she's gone through a few things or whatever, and like a few months have gone by, she just starts talking like, man, I just can't wait to suspend. And I'm like, wow, I can't wait to like maybe go on vacation. But yeah, that's her thing.
I mean, I get that part, but it's because I'll get the itch. And there's times even when Becky's like, you need to book a shoot, or maybe you should go do some trade, but you need to go find someone to beat up on because I'm done with your shit. Like, she's very like,
yeah,
you need to find somewhere to get that out of your system, because I get mischievous. I start poking and prodding, and Becky likes to be a little kinky, but Becky doesn't like the things that I do on set.
Totally.
So she's like, and you, that's your thing, you better call somebody because mama's not putting up with that shit.
Yeah, I mean, and even last time we suspended, I tried something I'd never done before. I tried suspending from just like right under my boobs, mm-hmm. which I didn't know was like a really hard thing to do. My best friend, he was like, oh no, you're fine. It's comfortable as hell.
You're fucking tattooed right there. You know how bad that fucking hurts.
He's like, it's really comfortable, surprisingly. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll try it. So we put like two hooks down here and like two hooks right here, just, you know, for weight distribution. And I tried for probably like 15 minutes to get up, and usually like sometimes it takes people hours, sometimes people don't get up at all, like everybody's very different, but for me I can usually get up fairly fast. And I was like, oh wow, this is like pinchy, but it's so intense that like
your guts out.
I wasn't able to allow myself to just like lay back. I mean, I eventually got up I think for like 2 minutes, and then I was like, no. And then at that point I was so pissed that I already had like hooks in me, I was like, put on my back now so I can actually like do something.
Yeah, now I need lift off. You need to get me
pissed
off the ground. We used to have Core. We'd have the people from Core come to our studio. We had like a 6,000 square foot studio in LA when I was working with Dungeon Corp. And we would throw parties and we would fill that motherfucker. Like it was packed, mm-hmm. and our sets were massive because we could, because mm-hmm. we had so much space. And we would throw parties, and there was one certain set that was always set up, and Core would show up. And it basically, if you came in and they, it, you know, you couldn't be a Joe Schmo. You had to be someone that someone knew that would speak for you. But they would put up the couple of people that they brought with them. And if you were the right person, they're like, come on, we'll put you up. But watching, because I'm not discounting anyone's job, because doing the needles or the hooks and doing and the, everything that goes into putting someone in the air is so significant.
Yes.
But that person that sits there in your face and tells you you can, every time I'd watch it, I was
like, my favorite job.
It's beautiful, because you were the reason that person just did something that there was no fucking way they would ever do. Like, they sat there and they picked their feet up and they hung for the first time because of that person. They had the willpower in them, but you helped them find it.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing.
It's a fucking honor to be that person, because you are getting just as much of an experience as they are. You're feeling what they're feeling. And I'm not even like a touchy-feely, sensitive type of person, but like whoa.
It radiates.
And you've done it before, so you know what that feeling is. You know what to expect, but they have no idea what they're gonna,
right.
what to do, what to expect. And you know, so many people are different. I've seen people go up and pass out in the air and just like hanging there and passing out, and then you gotta let them down. Nikki had a really bad experience the first and only time she's ever tried to suspend. I mean, that was a very fluke situation. She had like been in a car accident like a couple weeks prior, and it was a really bad car accident. She like totaled my car. Was it a couple days?
Yeah.
Oh, it was like fucked up. She had to get like shots in her neck and everything, like really bad. And bitch is like, no, I can suspend. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea. She took the hooks just fine, but like, and I was like guiding her up. I'm like, you can do this, you can do this. She's like, ugh. And like instant, I've never seen her cry so much. Like, she was literally just like tensed up and sobbing and shaking. And we're hanging from a fucking bridge.
Under a bridge that you had to walk down a ravine on the side of a dirt road in like Bakersfield or some shit to get to. And it's like under like a 20-foot bridge. And it was 4th of July. There were like a bunch of people there.
It was like a whole
suspension
thing.
Day. And I just decided last minute to do it. And, whatever happened, it, pulled on some of the nerves that were damaged from, the car accident, and it like paralyzed me. So my hands went like this and I was just like, and laid under this bridge for like an hour until somebody had to carry me up.
Yeah, they were, it was like two guys carrying her up a hill where they're, I'm like, wow, they're about to eat shit.
Bleeding and like laying in like the fucking like ravine rocks and shit. It was,
we were trying to like cover up her wounds so like the hospital didn't think we were like crazy people, you know, like that's why she's hurt. I'm like, no, she was in a car accident and I swear to God, like
this irritated what was there, but
it didn't cause it.
Yeah, we just didn't make this happen.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody has a different experience. You know, I was there for Charlotte's first experience, and
Charlotte's a tough ass bitch, but she lasted like 2 minutes. She was like, okay, done.
Nope. I mean, I think the knees just weren't for her. There are different spots that are for, you know, certain people.
Different people.
Yeah.
And that's the reason most people don't do Okiepaw, because that's supposed to be one of the gnarliest fucking things. I've seen people like, I got this. And like one of the guys that we used to, he was like one of the main guys. Like if you said there's going to be hooks, he's like, I'm going up first, bitches. Like he was always there. And he's, I forget how many times he's been up, but it got to the point where it was almost a sport for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he did Okiepaw once, and he barely was able to get his feet off the ground. He said, and he just kind of sat there and sucked it in, because he's like, I'm going to hold it, because this is the only time this is ever going to happen to me.
That's super funny, because you're familiar with this, because you used to live on, like, a thing. Or you'd go to powwows and stuff. Right? I'm sorry.
I grew up, like, with, instead of going to church, we went to the sweat lodge, like, in a Native American community tribe.
Okay.
So I grew up with that being like a regular thing.
Okay.
Seeing like my relatives and stuff do it, and doing it at like the Sundance and all the different things where like you're hanging from like buffalo bone, and like a lot of times they'll do another one at Sundance where it's like bones in the back and you drag giant buffalo skulls
right.
until it rips out, like all these different crazy ass things. And then when I got to like middle school or so, my sister is 10 years older and she was dating a tattooer who was in the suspension community. So it's like, I've grown up with all forms of suspension and I'm fascinated by it. But I've still never really had that crazy desire to do it. I was
right.
like, I feel like I should, because like I said, it's around me all the time, but it's not for me.
The idea of them ripping out sounds so gnarly to me because it's so rare.
Well, they'll hang for days.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
And it's like, and there's also like that you are either under the influence.
Absolutely.
Or you have basically fasted to the point that your body's doing all of it for you.
Yeah,
like you don't need the drugs at that point.
The point of that is to make you have a vision or basically hallucinate.
Yeah.
Until you see something that tells you something.
The only time I've seen like people fall or rip is literally because they've jumped and the weight of the rope they didn't take into account when they tied the knots, and like that was just like a rigger's mistake, or somebody who like really physically wasn't fit enough for it and like had a lot of like body fat and it just ripped through. But it's so rare for that kind of shit to happen.
And I think now too, because there seems to be more science behind it, to where it's like, okay, you need a, you know, 7-8 gauge or whatever it is hook that has to go through, and per pound has to have certain amounts of hooks in it.
Right.
But yeah. But yeah, I've never seen anyone do. I've only heard, but there is that they, the Native Americans, that they're not just Native Americans, but like a lot of like cultures that are more tribal-ish do things like that. And it's like, there's commitment and there's fucking, there's a deep soul in those people that I'm like, I'm weak and feeble when it comes to things. Like I think in a situation where I had no choice, I feel like I think I could.
I think you could.
But I don't think willingly that I want to do it anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. I mean, I don't know. Everything about like Native American spirituality, receiving anything from any kind of higher power comes through suffering.
Right.
So like instead of going and sitting in a church, you're going and sitting in a sweat lodge and fucking suffering for like 4 hours right. or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's, you're praying at the same time. So the idea is that you're giving something.
Right.
It, I don't know. But it was an interesting way to grow up.
Yeah. I think like speaking on like actual like hook suspension, I think that, you know, it's definitely not for everybody, but I think that everybody should try it.
Right. And just to see how far you can get. Because I did, again, with the parties that we used to, you know, throw, you'd see people get as far as getting the hooks in them, and then they'd sit there and break down. They're like, I can't. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, if you're cool, we're going to leave them in there,
and you can
walk around.
Chill.
Well, you can hang out with us. And we obviously had a set that was just sterilized, and you weren't supposed to go in there unless you were, you know, masked up and gloved up. But that was it. They were like, just hang out. Go sit down. You want us to get you something to drink? You want some water? Do you want to talk with someone? We're going to keep moving. You let us know if you're ready. And you're either going to be ready to go up or you're going to be ready to take the hooks out. And whenever you're ready to do either, you let us know. And there was always a very, like, the calmness that comes from the people who go through those things.
It has to be. Because you know that so many people, like, they're feeling so anxious and adrenaline. You have to keep everything fucking calm.
Yeah.
I used to know this girl who, like, every time she suspended, it was just a given. She knew she was going to throw up. It was just a thing. She would do crazy, like, positions. Yeah. And she would just wait with her bag. Like, she would just be, like, in a crazy like position, like laying like this, but she'd have her bag, she would vomit, and she knew, and it was fine, and that was just her thing. But like I said, everybody's so different. I find personally that like getting the hooks put in is the easiest part, it's the quickest part. They're really fat needles. I mean, Chase put 4-gauge in my back last time.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Those are pretty meaty.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's a big fucking hook.
But it makes it so much more comfortable when you go up than it being like tight and pinchy, you know?
Yeah.
The weight distribution is wild. Little things make the biggest difference.
How you even tie knots. Like he was teaching me that like it becomes less strong by like a tenth each time you add a knot.
Right.
And like stuff like that. I'm like, oh, these are things I didn't really think about.
There's so much that goes into whether it's, I mean, it, just rigging in general and knowing like what people who do climbing, people that do bondage, people that do flesh stuff. Like if you there's so much that you have to understand, the body mechanics, where you can put the hooks or where you put the rope or where you put your harnesses, all of that stuff, and it's so easy to fuck up someone so quickly if you don't know what you're doing.
Yep.
That's
learn, motherfuckers.
I feel like you would be, if you're not down to hang, I feel like you'd be a great asset to a team.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd make it really cool.
Well, if you knew, you might know the guy's his scene name is Meister Schmears.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the guy I know from LA. That's the one.
Super, super popular. Like, that guy's been around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I even think that you'd be really good with, like, putting hooks through people, calming them down.
Cool. Yeah.
Make the aesthetics. Like, that's my favorite part, too. And where I learned on my first team is the guy who's in charge of that orb, he doesn't even give a fuck so much about suspension, yes, the experience, but he wants it to look beautiful.
Right.
So all the ropes,
like the rigs to make it a thing,
are insane. He wants it to be a spectacle to look at. He wants to create an art piece that he'll never do again, and then to create something else.
That's pretty rad.
And he likes to keep it super intimate. He doesn't do like the big like parties or events or anything like that. He could, but he's like, it's not what I'm about.
Right.
It's not what we're about here. And I was like, oh wow. And then I learned about LA and like the teams like that Dave Ron and even like Jane's Addiction hanging the girls and stuff at concerts and whatnot.
I actually know, I don't think I know both of them, but I know one of them that was touring that was one of the hook girls.
Marlo?
Kat. It was, her scene name is like Kat Dior or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Brunette, kind of gothy.
Yeah.
She, I worked with her once because she's not so much a porn star, but she can get down with the stripping.
And, like, the fetish stuff,
the
yeah.
fetishy kind of stuff. And she was on, as far as I know, she was only on camera once, and that was working with me back at Dungeon Corp, because
cool.
LA was a huge group. And I met so many super cool people down there because of being the bondage people in LA.
Yeah, that's what's so fun, too, is you meet so many, like, weird people. Like, I feel like I grew up as, like, a basic bitch, you know? Like, very basic, kind of sheltered. Like, I was, like, really fucking basic. That's the only way I can describe it. And, but I, on the inside, it was always kind of a little weird, but nobody, like, really knew. Mm-hmm. And then I met all these people and, like,
found yourself.
Yeah, started getting tattoos.
I was gonna say,
weird.
That's what it was. Yeah, you found yourself. You found artsy. You found people who made you comfortable enough with who you were that you're like, now I can be me.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys are like, wow, you're like me, and none of my basic friends would get this. Mm-hmm. But I still love them.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
She was raised by, like, law enforcement.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like, my mom and my brother and everybody is in law enforcement, but my mom's super supportive about porn. She's like, you've always been my weird one. You've always been the
That's
weird
cute.
Artsy one. Oh, yeah, she fucking loves Nikki. Like, I never had a problem, like, saying, oh, I'm into a girl, or I'm gonna go fuck on camera, like, anything. I'm really lucky,
right.
despite the fact that I grew up in a really strict environment, that she was cool with it. She's like, you're a grown-ass woman, and my daughter is famous in the porn world. Look at her, my shirt, it has her face on it. She goes into sex stores, will get all, like, the DVDs I'm in and take photos with it, and I'm like, mm-hmm.
That's pretty fucking awesome, man.
Sex toys, she's like, it's Lance. I'm like, uh-huh.
Modeling the urinal face mask.
I was gonna say, yeah, because Lance is modeled for so many of those fucking toys. I mean, you can't look at a toy book without being like, there's Lance.
Right. Yeah, I'm so, like,
plus
lucky.
He's easy on the, he's a good-looking man.
That's what my mom said all the time, too. She's like, oh my god, he's just so perfect, and he's a gentleman, and I love him. And I'm like, yeah, mom. But, like, you know, a lot of people aren't so lucky. Like, my mom has come to, like, movie premiere stuff where I'm literally fucking on the screen, and she's like, oh yeah. Oh, that's you fucking my daughter. And, like, I was just like, and I'm like, I swear, we have a really weird relationship, but it's cool.
It's okay. She's here. It's all right.
My brother is obviously not into it. My grandparents are really obviously not into it. But, you know, I have my mom.
As much as this has been awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is great. I want to make sure you're still in there.
People are going to be like, I don't want to listen to them talk for 4 fucking hours.
Oh, you know what? There's that really famous comedian who has, like, 2.5, 3-hour long podcast, and people eat that shit up. So I think an
awesome.
Hour and a half, I'm like, maybe they'll
just
like
play
mine.
It in the car. You know,
yeah.
So long drive.
So, I was going to wrap this up,
mm-hmm.
which I hate to, but we need to. First, I wanted to, I'm trying to find the card so I can
oh,
talk
yeah, where
about
was it?
It.
It was right here.
Oh, there it is. Let me read this so people, because it's a podcast, so there's probably more people listening
than watching. Listening rather than watching.
We have mugs that someone made specially for me for as a birthday present that you guys can see. Are those up there? Yeah, beautiful. And they're made, and I'll put this up. I'll put a little link on, or not a link. I'll put the link in the thing down below or whatever. But it's Icebreaker Designs. They're on Etsy, so it's icebreakerdesigns.etsy.com. They're super kink friendly. They make really awesome shit, and as you guys can see, they're
yeah, they're really cool. Nice. You know, you don't feel any like weird sticky shit or anything. It's like legit.
So
well done.
Yeah, they're super awesome. So anybody, you guys, go show them some love. It's pretty
awesome.
It holds
your coffee really well.
Oh, look at that. It didn't even leak.
Nope.
So this is, like I said, this I kind of wrap everything up with doing an advice thing to where
yeah.
I kind of have people who have been in the industry and done things and seen things. If you, like, if there's any advice that you could give to someone coming in, what would it be? And it's to male or female. And it's, we've had financial stuff, business stuff,
mm-hmm.
time management. So it's kind of like whatever you think that would benefit someone who's like, I don't know, I'm getting into this new industry and I don't know what to do. What would you tell them?
I would say, I mean, my immediate like thinking when we talk about giving people advice is like the stuff that I've stuck by the most to keep myself sane is just like be aware of the fact that the porn industry is very much a bubble, and once you start, no matter how strong you think you are or whatever, the porn bubble will suck you in, and it's really easy to lose sight of reality and what matters. And that's with the rest of society, people you know, within yourself, and people just become obsessed with the porn bubble and being in with the right people and thinking that they have to do things to get attention from certain people or to get work or whatever, and just like being aware that that exists and that you are the most important thing here within your career. So like protect yourself and watch out and just, you know, be aware, like look outside of the bubble a little bit and be like, okay, I feel like I used to not really understand where I fit because I came in with this goal of being myself, but everyone was telling, people didn't know that, so they're telling me like, you need to do this, you need to remove those tattoos and get these extensions and all this shit, and I was like, hell no.
Right.
But then there were things where it's like I'd have an agent and they'd be like, you have to wear a dress to this party or you can't go. And I'd be like, oh, all right, like I have to go. So I remember one time I wore a dress to a Christmas party for like all the agencies, and I was just like mortified, like the worse than any feeling I've ever had on set or anything. And it's just like, that didn't fucking matter. Like, and she was full of shit. Like, I don't know, I was just young and I listened to everyone.
And can you imagine Nikki in a dress? That's like not cool.
Yeah, people literally were walking up and laughing because it's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
I feel like, as weird as this would sound, I feel like I could probably be accepted more in a dress than
absolutely.
You. Because it just does, it's not you. It's yeah. Nothing about you says, exactly. Hey, look, I'm going to put on this fancy dress.
Yeah, and for so many years I'd show up to set and it's like, well, you don't look girly, so we need to put you in like extra makeup and really feminine lingerie and heels. And it's like, but I look like a fucking fool. Like, I look like a clown, and that's okay. I agree. Like, I look ridiculous, so just go with what works. It's this weird, like, porn mentality of, like, well, we need to make you fit so that people... And it's just like, God damn it. No, just do you.
Right.
Do you.
That's really good. And that's a good thing, because it is, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about being passionate about stuff. And if you're not passionate about it, just don't fucking do it.
Yeah, my shit did terrible when I did that stuff. Like, nobody liked it because it's fucking weird.
Well,
like,
there's also confidence that comes with it. And if you are 100% you, there is a level of sexiness that no one can... There's no paint, there's no makeup, there's no outfit, there's no hairstyle that can change how sexy a person is when they're confident in what they do and yes, how they look.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I've learned from this industry is, like, it... doesn't matter how good a shape you're in, how bad a shape you're in. If you have the right mentality, you're good and you're confident, there is fucking sexy. Holy fuck, there are some women that I have to sit there and think to myself, I never in a million years would have thought that I would be attracted to a woman of maybe that size because she's a BBW, but that's the fucking confidence. I'm yeah. Like, shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's sexy. It's sexy as fuck. So it's intoxicating.
Building off of that, I guess my advice would be don't ever sacrifice your comfort for somebody else in this fucking industry because it's so easy to do. You know, you want to please everybody, but at the end of the day, your mental health is so much more important, and a lot of times, I'm not trying to say that the industry is bad, but there's bad in everything. And I think that it can be really emotionally and physically taxing, this job. And, you know, you want to do everything to be the best.
And there's so many people around you saying, like, well, she's doing it so much better, and you're a pussy if you can't do that, and, like, you're fine, and, it, like, oh, we're so lucky to be working in porn. And it's just like, yeah, but in reality, you're living in a community of 200 people who all fuck each other for work. And that is crazy, and there's gonna be issues, and it's okay yeah. to have fucking feelings and be a person. Also, pineapple support is the shit. Gotta shout them out.
You've been using them quite a bit, and I'm about to start using them, and I think that it's definitely worked because
lifesaver. It's pineapple support is a group. You can Google that. Provides.
I'll actually put a link since we're talking about it. I'll put a link down below for this because we have up in the green room area where the makeup area is, we have a little card holder that has their cards up there.
Nice.
Like Kink sent me, I'm not talking like one of the little boxes that most of us get. They sent a fucking case. Like if you guys want, I'll give you some to take on your sets because we have a shit ton
of
them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it is. It's a super amazing resource.
They, you apply and they set you up with a sex positive therapist who is versed in the type of things that we deal with. They won't judge you or
and
anything.
And they fit within your budget.
You put in how much you can afford to pay. Pineapple pays the balance with your therapist. They get you hooked up, and you can do the therapy from your computer. I Skype with my therapist once or twice a week, and it has changed the game.
Yeah, definitely. Also, you can absolutely remove this, but don't ever work for facial abuse unless... Unless that's seriously your kink. Don't ever do it.
No, that's fair. I try and, the only thing I think I've ever removed from one of these is I had Kimber Woods on, and she was talking about her mom, I think, getting mad at her and speaking to her in Spanish, and she said her legal name before she started saying, so I had to go in and boop and just cut the legal name out real quick. But no, I feel like, here's the thing, I like having people on here and letting them be them, and this, like, the cutting, like, I used to sit on that side, and since I moved out here for some reason, I'm on this. That's because the better eye. But my watch would always sit here while I was talking, so it was very easy for people to be like, this motherfucker, because I don't like to cut it. I want it to be what it is, and want people to... It's you. It's who you are. There's a reason that you said it, and
I think it's important.
It's, yeah. That's probably some good advice from me is... Do your fucking research. If you get called and you get told to go on a fucking site and you're going to shoot, go do your research. Find out who you're going to work for and make sure you're okay to do that and that you can go home later and be happy about what you did and not... Because there's a lot of girls, I hear stories that not that site, but in general, they go on set, they do things, there's that whole can you help me a little thing happens, and they go home and cry about it. I'm like, that's a no list. That's where motherfuckers belong on that situation. That's a whole JP ranting on is that's a solo fucking podcast from that, because I got some shit to say, but I'm not at that level.
And if you're not even given a lot of information, like unfortunately with my situation with that, I was not given the information of knowing who I was working for, don't fucking do it. There's a reason why you're not being told.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So. And it's your body. That's the thing that a lot of people forget in this industry, and it's happened on not that, but not just that, I should say, because obviously that, but... There was the girl a Christmas or so ago who, not saying that the bullying was the only reason, but the bullying is what pushed her into taking her own life. And it was all of the bullying came from a situation because she made a choice about her body. And people shamed her and was like, well, you're homophobic or you're this or you're that.
I get it, yeah.
At the end of the day, it's her body. Just like it's your body. Just like it's your body. Just like it's my body. And... if you don't want to fucking do it and it's not mentally okay for you to do it or you feel like it's going to harm you in any way mentally or physically, just say fucking no.
Yeah, other people may not agree with it for a lot of reasons, but like at the end of the day, like I said, your mental health comes before and physical, anything and everything and anyone, and I just think it's really important to remember that you can always say cut and you can always say no.
Yeah. Yeah. Your agent does not own your body. Your agent doesn't know what's best
for you. Your agent works for you.
There. Yeah.
That's the thing a lot of people forget is the agents have their reputation and they do a lot of work, but and you ultimately are representing them, but they work for you.
You are paying them.
And I love all the agents. Well, the ones that I work with.
Yeah,
the ones that I don't work with, and people know who they are. They can eat a big old dick, too.
Big old dick. Big old dick.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
You guys
great.
Are fucking awesome. You're
Thank
amazing.
You.
Thanks. Thanks for surprising us with Nikki coming on. I was like, I was all excited just that Lee was here, but I'm like, we get Nikki too.
I made her. I'm like, get up, bitch.
You're coming with me. All right. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll probably have this up in probably like a week or so. I try and turn these fuckers around pretty fast, but I'll tag you both in it and put it up.
We'll promote it on my blog.
Awesome.
We'll promote the shit out of it. And I'm going to get you one of these.
Awesome.
I'm going to look already on Amazon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.
Bye, y'all.
That was fun.